Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anu Samarodi, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, if you have a child who was born in 2010, which I do, you may be gearing up to make an important decision for your little one's education. Pre-K applications are due on April 23rd. That's next Wednesday. And with Mayor de Blasio's efforts to expand pre-kindergarten programs by adding new locations, teachers, and seats, the decision-making process for parents hasn't been particularly easy. It's been a little confusing. So joining me now to take our questions about pre-K applications is Sophia Pappas. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Manoush. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Sophia is the executive director of the Office of Early Childhood Education for the city's Department of Education, which means she's in charge of universal pre-K for thousands of four-year-olds in the city. And let's start by opening the lines for parents who are currently grappling with pre-K decisions. We understand this is a stressful process for many of you, but let's not turn this into airings of grievances either. So we are asking, do you have a specific question about the pre-K application or process? Call in, ask our guest, Sophia Pappas from the Office of Early Childhood Education in New York. The number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So, Sophia, I want to start by asking, the city right now just has 20,000 pre-K spaces. That's at the moment. And the mayor says that the next 33,000 seats are going to be coming in September. I mean, that's not that far away. How is the city getting ready?
Well, I think it's important to note that when we talk about expanding pre-K, offering high-quality options for families across the city, we're talking about options in both public schools and community-based organizations that we partner with. So we're excited that we've already expanded to include several thousand more seats in public schools, and that's this first step. And in the coming month, we'll be announcing thousands more in community-based organizations. So families will have options to choose from in all five boroughs across these settings. We're really excited to be offering these high-quality services, and we are very confident that across public schools and community-based organizations, we'll hit our target of 53,000 for this September.
I mean, I have to admit, I had never heard of classes based in these community-based organizations, and you call them CBOs on the website, right? And that's like Children's Aid Society or Catholic Charities. Where else?
Sure. So we refer to them as CBOs frequently. We also talk about them as early childhood centers. They range from large organizations like the ones you mentioned, which may have multiple sites with multiple classrooms in each site. We also have smaller community organizations in all the five boroughs. So what's positive for families is that within if they're choosing a CBO option, they really have a diverse range. It could be small, large. Some of them may serve younger children. Some of them may have wraparound services. They may be close to where a family member works or lives, or next to another caregiver who might pick up the child after the pre-K program. So as a city, it's exciting that we've come together with public schools and CBOs to be able to say to families, we have all these diverse options, and all of them are going to offer you really high-quality services that get your kids ready for school.
So as a parent, do I get to choose? Do I get to say, no, actually, I don't want my kid to be in a community-based organization. I want them to be in my local public school.
Well, that's where when we talk about multiple phases of this process, families do have the opportunity. As you mentioned, there's a deadline coming up this Wednesday, April 23rd. It's the first part of the enrollment process. So they can apply to up to 12 options in public schools across the city. They will find out about those matches in early June, but the process doesn't stop there. So if a family either doesn't get a match or wants wants to pursue other options after that time, after the June period, they can go directly to schools, and they can also continue to explore their CBO options. So we really want to make sure families have time to look at their different options and find the one that best suits them.
Parents, have you gone through the application process? How are you going to rank the various options for your little one? Call us and ask Sophia Pappas any questions you have from the DOE. The number here is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And we have Larry from Manhattan on the line. Hi, Larry. Hi, Larry. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Larry. You're on the air. What's your question for Sophia?
Yes. First of all, I'd just like to say that I think it's a very good thing to try to expand our pre-K to every four-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And my question would be that is the mayor going to build more schools, or he's just going to, use the existing school buildings to really achieve this?
Yep, great question. So Larry's asking, is the city going to have to build more space to accommodate everyone in the long run? I mean, we're talking about adding an entire grade to the city's school system, which is already sort of ginormous, right, Sophia?
Sure. So thank you, Larry. That's a great question. It's something we think a lot about, making sure that we have enough suitable spaces for young children in these programs. And so when we think about what that looks like in year one and year two, for year one, we're focusing on space that is readily available in public schools and in CBOs, and we're confident that we'll get to our targets using those spaces. So families have, as we mentioned, 53,000 seats starting in September. We're also exploring various ways that we might expand beyond our existing facilities, which will come into play in year two when we reach our full number of roughly 73,000 full-day seats.
And in terms of quality control, how are you going to know? I mean, this is going to be the first time that that these classrooms exist. How will you know that there is some sort of will you keep track of them? Will people be monitoring them? What sort of training will there be for these teachers?
Quality for us is first and foremost. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right, because it's what is right for kids and families in our city and is going to make the most of our investments. And as a former pre-K teacher and somebody who has been running the Office of Early Childhood here at the DOE for several years now, I am firmly committed to making sure we have high-quality instruction as well as family engagement that makes the most of this first year to form strong homeschool connections. And so when we think about quality, it's from the very beginning selecting programs that meet a high bar, that advance positive student learning outcomes in all areas of development, early literacy, math, social emotional, really getting to the needs of the whole child. And then after a rigorous process of selecting these programs in public schools and in community-based organizations, we have training and support for teachers and administrators. We're going to have, for the first time ever, a summer training institute for teachers. And then on an ongoing basis, I have a staff of over 150 people throughout the city who are doing the monitoring of sites and who are coaching teachers and administrators and really making sure that quality is there in all respects. And that so any classroom that a child enters, if it's in a CBO or a public school, is really making the most of this first year.
Okay, let's go to Geraldine in the Bronx. Hi, Geraldine.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead with your question.
Ms. Pappas, I'm wondering if there's going to be any seats in the new expanded pre-K for special education children.
Great question. Seats for kids with special needs.
Yeah, so it's... You know, we're talking about universal pre-K, and we want to be able to serve all children and meet their needs. When we look at special education, children can be served in a number of different ways. So in a lot of our classrooms, children do have IEPs, and so we will be making sure that teachers who are teaching children with those IEPs really know how to meet those needs. My office is working very closely with the DOE's special education office. Many of the classrooms that we have in public schools are integrated, so you have general education students and children with special needs, and so that's a big part of our process. And as we move more in implementation, we'll have even more information about how we are making this as inclusive as possible.
And where can they go for that further information, Sophia?
So on the DOE website, there's information on how the pre-K process works with special education. So if you go to schools.nyc.gov/pre-K, you can find more information.
Okay. So I want to go to Tina. Tina in Northern New Jersey. I think she's a teacher. Tina, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Okay. I actually work in a public preschool. It was called the Abbott District, and I was curious as to what the ratio to student to teacher will be in the classroom. How big are the classrooms going to be?
Great question.
That's a great question. So the classrooms will be 18 students to two adults. And classrooms can also go up to 19 or 20, but if that's the case, you need three adults in the classroom.
Okay.
And this is following state regulations.
And strictly four-year-olds?
These are four-year-olds, that's correct. Okay. So children who turned four this year in 2010 are eligible, and that goes for subsequent years. It's four-year-olds.
I mean,
are you going to develop any kind of a curriculum?
So we do. So we make sure that the curriculum that's chosen by programs advances the state pre-K learning standards. These standards cover all areas of development, early literacy, math, social, emotional, and we require that programs are using developmentally appropriate practices. So it's the job of my office to work with programs to make sure that the curriculum chosen is doing all those things, but also that the way the curriculum is implemented is meeting the needs of every child.
I mean, that's a great question because developmentally, you know, just I spend a lot of time with four-year-olds and they're kind of all over the place, even within any social group. And you're looking to serve all of them. You're going to have some four-year-olds who they know their letters, maybe they can write their names, and other four-year-olds who don't even know what neighborhood they live in. How are you going to sort of address the sort of different four-year-olds at very different levels? Will the curriculum be more geared towards socialization or getting them ready for math and reading, both?
It's really important to address the needs of the whole child. As you pointed to, Manoush, you know, we're talking about everything from the social-emotional development, how kids are adjusting to school, how well they're able to make friends, solve problems. But then there's also the foundation of early literacy, which covers everything from students starting to know their letters to, you know, sitting and listening to stories and pointing out details in the books that they're reading, that sort of thing. And so it's really important that we set children up for success in all of those respects. So that really gets down to the teacher training and our work with principals and CBO directors, making sure they have the tools that they need to understand how children are doing in all those areas and to meet their needs on a daily basis. So whether a teacher is working with children in the block center to help them figure out how they build a tower that doesn't fall down while also learning how they share the materials. It's really all those skills are integrated throughout the day.
Okay, we've got a comment from a parent in Brooklyn who's wondering, I want my child to go to kindergarten at a particularly beloved school in my district that does not have pre-K. If I sign up for pre-K at a different school in my district, will I be at a disadvantage in terms of getting a kindergarten seat, the one that I want, next year?
So there are two separate processes. So the answer would be no. So she can apply. So if she goes to a pre-K at another school and then applies through the kindergarten process, the kindergarten process will have families who are zoned for that school will still have priority at that school, whether or not they went to pre-K at that school.
You know, I wonder also, Sophia, I had spoken to some parents who had already put down deposits on private pre-K programs or daycare for next year, and then found out that there could potentially be a public option. What's your advice for parents who are choosing between private pre-K or daycare, which is expensive, but they know it? They know some of those care providers already. They feel safe about that. And choosing between that and the new public pre-K programs, which are free, but they won't know exactly what they are, and they won't find out if their kid has a seat until the summertime.
Well, families, of course, have to find an option that best meets their needs. We encourage them to do their research in our public programs and in other programs they might be interested in. I feel very confident in the quality of our programs. We are devoting a considerable amount of staff time to make sure we're reviewing not just written proposals, but actually going and seeing it in action. So we have educators on our staff going into programs, making sure that these are places that that they feel confident in, are safe for kids, but that also will offer the kind of instruction that's going to set them up for success. So, you know, parents are ultimately going to make their choices, but I think they should feel confident in the quality of these programs, do their research, look into CBOs, look into public schools, and then go from there. I mean, we have multiple opportunities for families to look into these programs and then to apply and to find the place that best meets their needs.
Okay, and when exactly, Sophia, will parents find out whether their child has a seat?
So in the public schools, for this first deadline of the 23rd, they will find out in early June. And then they can pre-register at the school after that. For this, and then if they still are interested in public school options and didn't find a seat through the first deadline, then they go directly to school. So they still have an opportunity to go to schools and apply after that June period through the start of the school year. For CBOs, they're going to find out about thousands of CBO options in the coming months, so at the end of May, and then they would go directly to the CBOs, and that enrollment happens on a rolling basis.
Okay, we're going to go to Richard, who's calling in from Plainfield, New Jersey. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
I have a question that I heard that some of the seats are going to be in some community-based organizations, and some of them will be, say, Catholic Charities and some of the other religious groups. Will it be anybody checking to see that they don't proselytize the students that are not necessarily of their faith?
Interesting question.
Yes, thank you, Richard. So the important thing to note here is that whether you are an organization affiliated with a religious institution or not, during that time of universal pre-K, there is no religious instruction. So we are really excited to be able to partner with a wide range of organizations that offer services to families. We expect that every organization is offering high-quality instruction, meeting the expectations that we laid out, and if they want to offer religious instruction outside of UPK hours, that's fine, and a lot of families want that option as well. During the UPK hours, that's not allowed. But we're happy to partner with those organizations and others that can meet the needs of families in various communities.
And I just want to ask you also, we're kind of jumping ahead here, but what should parents do if their child is not accepted to one of the programs that they list that would be their preference?
Well, we're really excited that we're able to offer all of these options across the city and thousands of seats. If families don't, if they're not satisfied with what they get in this first round, they have several other opportunities to find another option that meets their needs. So it's our job as a DOE and with other city agencies and City Hall to make sure families know about all their options and can take advantage of them, can research them. So this first deadline is certainly very important because we want families to start the process early, to list to identify the programs that they really that they want to have their kid in. But at the same time, we also want families to understand that they'll have more opportunities to apply, to go directly to schools and CBOs. And so you should get in early, but know that there are several other opportunities to find a pre-K option that meets your needs.
Okay, my guest has been Sophia Pappas, the Executive Director of the Office of Early Childhood Education for the city's Department of Ed. Pre-K applications are due on Wednesday. Sophia, thanks so much for joining us and taking our calls.
Thank you.
I'm Anusha Marodi, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC.